There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're looking now at the rise of Halal FinTech. That's with Edmund Christou, who's the financial analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Edmund, it's nice to have you in.
Thanks for hosting me here today.
I've got a funny feeling we're all going to learn something during this interview this morning. When we're talking about Halal FinTech, what are we actually talking about?
I mean, we're talking about technology that is Sharia compliant. So we need a Sharia advisor on the top of the platform. If we talk about crowdfunding platform, which is one of the most exciting fintech development, we need a Sharia advisor to be able to look at the coding, at the algorithm, and make sure it is Sharia compliant. The use of fund is Sharia compliant, which is very important for the lender and the fund seeker.
Does it need to be the technology itself or the use that it's put to that needs to be Sharia compliant? Is technology not just technology?
The coding should be smart enough to be able to identify the risk factors and the funds under management. When we look at the fintech or crowdfunding in a conventional way, it's mostly automated. So it's very important for this automation, the algorithm, to be able to be smart enough to take into consideration all the Sharia principles and rules, and the flag if there is specific fund is not a Sharia compliant, flag it to specific advisor and they can do the review for it. We've seen it with Beehive, which is very interesting, a platform in UAE, and they are able to filter the funds if it's Sharia or not, and if it's not Sharia, then they offer it on their conventional platform. If it's Sharia, they consider
them. So Beehive, of course, is the it's in the DIFC. It's DIFC regulated. It's a peer-to-peer lending network, isn't it? So
yes.
If Malcolm suddenly wanted to go into the pink shirt business, I could lend him some money to get that going.
It is very important platform for SMEs, and SMEs, they play a very important role in the UAE economy.
So why is it Sharia compliant?
They do offer Sharia compliant and conventional, and they do filter the fund to make sure the fund you are at. So for example, the project you want as SMEs, you have an idea for a project. This project needs to be Sharia compliant. You cannot start a project focusing on weapons manufacturing.
When we think of sort of Sharia compliant finance, we think of non-interest based finance. And you're talking here about an algorithm being Sharia compliant. Are you talking about something within the algorithm itself, or the underlying stocks or products or companies that it might represent?
The algorithm should be able to identify ethical instrument, ethical assets to invest in. The idea behind all this fintech is to have automation. You don't want to end up hiring extra people to do the job for you. The algorithm need to be smart enough to identify ethical asset that is filtered by Sharia board and is investable for the purpose of Islamic finance.
Well, this is where we come down to one of the big sticking points for Islamic finance. You're saying that it isn't anything in the algorithm itself, it's what it represents. The Sharia-compliant nature of a business, whether it's sort of alcohol, gambling, drugs-relating, which will obviously be totally forbidden, and it has to sort of comply with the Quran, the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith. But one of the problems with Islamic finance that has prevented the spread of it is the sort of varying Sharia committees agreeing and disagreeing. There is no one common definition of what is Sharia compliant. How much of a drawback is that in expanding Islamic finance?
It will be a big challenge. However, there is opportunity with the use of blockchain. Blockchain will able to bring transparency and standardization to the code, and it will be a more secure environment. There is opportunity for communities to stick to one Sharia fatwa and be able to represent it into blockchain algorithm.
But are you seeing that at the moment, where in a time where many banks still have their own Sharia committees that actually decide whether a product is haram or halal, you know, the idea, the dream of having one central Sharia committee is still as far off as it was 10 years ago?
Yes, definitely. And this is one of the problems the Islamic finance face in terms of the growth, of the expansion. They cannot reach one consolidated agreement on a specific contract. It will remain challenging. However, there is opportunity here with the use of technology to have the transparency, to be able to look at the code, have the code consistent across different regions. I'm sure the UAE will be different than Saudi Arabia in terms of the interpretation of the different principle under the Sharia. However, the UAE has very important opportunity here to take in order to consolidate and try to standardize as much as possible under one code that is able to be read and understood by different member of the community or the market.
Who's starting to take a lead then in terms of both developing and regulating the Islamic finance instruments under blockchain or smart contracts or whatever it happens to be?
I mean, we've seen the UK and Malaysia are a leader. Recently, the UAE being flagged as number fourth. However, we believe even the UAE could be the third worldwide. If we look at recent innovation, Beehive, one of them, the other one which I can flag to you will be Finert, which is a quite interesting wealth management system. It's a robo-advisor. It's able to question you on your risk appetite. Based on your risk appetite, it do the allocation of the fund and run it through a Sharia advisor and give you 100% Sharia-compliant product. The other thing is I can flag is the cryptocurrency. We've seen quite interesting innovation in cryptocurrency, Islamic one, which is based on gold, which is called 1 gram.
Yes, we know 1 gram, yes.
Yes, and this is quite interesting for after the change in the gold standards to be permissible under the Sharia. So now you can use gold to back Islamic finance contract. And I see the development of fintech in the future will be able to leverage the gold and assets.
Of course. Well, of course, 1 gram, of course, as you say, does involve physical gold. Where does Islamic finance, where does Sharia stand on cryptocurrencies in general? Things like Ripple, things like Bitcoin.
I haven't gone in details into this topic, so I cannot comment on it. All I can see is there is big concern on the volatility and will always be what's backing it and the scale of the currency. This is main topics.
Financial technology as such, or fintech, is nothing new to the Islamic finance world, really. Banks in this region have been using Reuters and Telerate International financial systems since the 70s. The Reuters direct dealing has been here since the very early 80s. Where within the Islamic finance world at the moment do you see opportunities for new technologies? Is it hardware, software, apps, trading, retail, or back office?
Technology can play an important role in the front office and back office.
But where do you see the trends in Islamic finance?
In Islamic finance, it's the front office. I think that what we see is digital banking, online banking, all of this are good stuff. But then on the other hand, we need to make sure that this technology being translated into operational efficiency, lower cost, and have the competitive edge to offer remittances for free, for example, to their clients.
We're hearing, I mean, we've been talking already this morning about blockchain and sort of the transparency and openness that can come with blockchain and smart contracts. That sounds to me as though that would slot in very well with the Islamic banking sector. Is that the case?
Yes. I mean, Malaysia has very good experience in this. They started earlier. And if we look at the financial stability report from the Malaysian authority, we will see that they see a blockchain as an important technology to use in murabaha contracts. Mm-hmm. However, there are some issues need clarity from the Sharia advisors. For example, the blockchain smart contract, it's has this feature of unstoppable execution of series of conditional contracts. And under the Islamic law, if we look at murabaha contracts, every transaction need to have explicit offering and acceptance. While when you look at the blockchain, everything is automated, autonomous, and this is a big issue under the Sharia law, which need to be discussed. The last thing I can talk about is a decentralized autonomous organization, we'd call it DAO. It should be a good technology and solid technology for Musharaka partnership and the crowdfunding in the future. Also, all of this come with the challenges on how the Sharia advice on the technology behind it and the interpretation.
Are they being trained? Do you hear about the Sharia advisors, the scholars being trained on this technology and the new instruments?
this has been the case with Islamic finance. Usually, it's very hard to find the one person who is expert in Sharia and also expert in finance. And here, you need someone expert in Sharia and finance and in technology and programming and coding, which make it more challenging also. Okay. But also, it's a big question. The competitive edge, we see it for Al-Rajhi, for example, which is the largest Islamic banks, will remain in the future, will be sustained with all this technology we see it and innovation on conventional banking.
Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning, running us through that. Edmund Christou is a financial analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for hosting me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.